With many of our guests on the summit, I'm either meeting them for the first time, or maybe I've known them a little bit. This guest is different. She's somebody that I've known for a long time, 33 years to be exact, and I've actually been married to her for 30 of those years. But that's not why she's on the summit. She's on the summit because she is one of the leaders in the health wellness industry. As a matter of fact, in 2021, she was just named in the Academy Awards of Health and Wellness as the Instructor of the Year, the Expert of the Year. And that was voted on by all her peers and contemporaries in that industry. So I'm really excited to introduce you to my wife, Stacy McCarthy. She is a professor of kinesiology. So she's got an academic background, but she's got a huge heart, and she's helped so many people optimize their health and wellness. I know she's going to do the same for you. So welcome, Stacy McCarthy.
Thank you, Tom McCarthy. Good to be here.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to have you on. And one of the reasons that you've been so successful is you've taken this complicated business of how do I become healthier? How do I create wellness in my life? And you've simplified it. You didn't say there's a million and two things you need to do. You've actually boiled it down into what you call, and I love this terminology, mastering the big three. So give us just a little bit of a high level what the big three is, and then we'll start to dig down deeper and give people some information on how to master the big three. But what is the big three? What are the big three?
Well, the big three are really lifelong rituals that guarantee your success in these three areas of your life: how you move, how you eat, and how you think.
And so why did you pick those three? What is it about those three categories that made them rise above everything else?
Well, if you really look at most of the habits that you have in a day, good and bad, if you look at those habits, most of them fall somewhere within those three areas. What we're eating during the day, if we want to be healthy, maybe you're trying all these different diets, trying to figure out how you're supposed to eat in order to maximize your health, or maybe you're exercising or moving in a certain way, hoping that that's going to make you healthy, or the thoughts that you're having throughout the day. These fall into these three areas. So if we look at our daily habits of what we're doing, those unconscious habits that we're doing over and over again, they're going to fall probably into one of those three categories.
Yeah. And so you talked about habits, and I know you're going to talk about rituals too. A lot of people will dabble in parts of those, like they'll take a yoga class every now and then, or they'll eat healthy or try some new diet every now and then, or they'll try to think positive thoughts. But you're a big proponent that it has to become a ritual. It has to become something that you do on a consistent basis. Why is that so critical?
Well, if you look at a habit, and we all have habits, good and bad, they're usually unconscious. They could come from all kinds of places. They could have been passed down from our parents or from our roommates. Let's say you get up in the morning and every morning you fix yourself a cup of coffee first thing out of bed. Well, that's pretty unconscious for a lot of us. It's just, that's what I do. I wake up and have coffee. But when we really look at being our best self and we start to do things intentionally and consciously, over and over again to be our best selves, that becomes a ritual. We're much more conscious of what we're doing. We're much more intentional of what we're doing versus it's just unconscious. This is the way I've always done it. I don't think too much about it. So this is what I do now. And so we're taking those unconscious habits and we're starting to be more mindful about what it is we're doing. And eventually those rituals also almost become unconscious, but we started very intentional, very conscious in moving in the direction of our best self.
Yeah. And I can vouch for the fact that you practice what you preach. There are many rituals you have as you go through your day that allow you to optimize how you move, how you eat, and how you think. Let's start with how you move. A lot of people think, exercise or movement is important, but they don't know how to optimize it. They don't have the best rituals, or maybe they they work really, really hard at it, and then they burn out. They can't keep it up. What are some of the things to think about around movement before we even get into maybe a habit or two? What are some ways to think about movement? Because we're moving hopefully throughout the day, not just in an exercise practice. I know that you even have things you do in bed when you wake up. I mean, sometimes you wake me up because you're moving and doing these things. But what's a good way to think about movement as you go through the day? Because you say it is one of the big three components of living a healthier and happier and wellness-filled life.
Well, first of all, we're living right now in a sitting society, right? We spend so much time. In fact, we're on Zoom, but we're standing up because we spend so much time behind our computers, behind cars and transportation. So sitting today is really the new smoking. So if you're getting up and you're moving at all, great job. You're getting up and you're moving. And so already you're on the track to doing something good. Just get up off your seat. Don't sit there too much and move. But then we can refine it a little bit deeper. So exercise is fantastic. Exercise is great. And exercise for most of us, it's, you know, our 30 minutes or hour in the day. And if you do that much, and then that's what you've done. But it's really the other 23 hours in your day that's going to make a difference. So a couple things. One, I want to define health versus exercise. And I come from an exercise background. Obviously, you mentioned I'm a kinesiology, health and nutrition professor. I was a swimmer in college. So sports and exercise have always been a big part of my life. However, exercise in itself is really designed for an athletic endeavor or to accomplish something, whether it's losing weight, whether it's keeping fit, whether it's building certain muscle. But a lot of times it's very repetitive and it's designed to, again, to perform something. And over time, even if you look at athletes exercising a lot or a weekend warrior exerciser, they're tending to do the same thing over and over, which can create a lot of muscular imbalances and structural irregularities in the body. And just take a look at any professional athlete long-term, and depending on what sport they did, you can probably see what's happening. You'll see the football player get up in their knees, or, you know, you'll see these different athletes and what's happened to them. And it can even happen in just exercise classes these days. They're really hardcore exercise classes where, again, it's designed for a single purpose. Whereas health is really the optimization of your entire system, your muscular skeletal system, but also your cardiovascular system, your hormonal system, your nervous system, your circulatory system. Your health is the entire body working together. So when it comes to movement, let's really look at things that are energizing, not just your muscles and your tendons and your ligaments, but let's look at movement to really boost our circulatory system, to balance our hormones, to really look at the body as a healthy vehicle. So there's a little difference in that. And it's one of the reasons that I'm a big proponent of yoga, because yoga is a 24/7 practice of really awareness. That the asana or the postures that we do are a body awareness technique aimed at liberating our consciousness from old ways of being, doing, and thinking. So even while we're moving in these poses, we're working on it to help our mind, to help really liberate our mind from all the chaos outside of ourselves. So we're looking at it as a health system as a whole. So I hope that helps in looking at how you move and being a little more mindful at the type of movements that we're doing.
Yeah. So let's start by, so a ritual you have every morning is you stretch in bed. And talk about your little ritual of stretching in bed, because that could be something that anybody can do. That 5 minutes before you get up and you're up and going, you're moving around in bed. You know, not moving, jerking around, but you've got purposeful movement. How did you come up with that? And what are some of the things people can do, even just in that time that they're waking up? They can start with their movement, almost like get a little head start on the day. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, That's a funny one, but I do bed yoga. So in the morning before I get up, it's kind of like a yin practice, very soft, more restorative practice where I'm just easing my body into the day. So I'll do some light things to really release my low back in bed, where I release the hips. I'll do some things for my shoulder girdle, just very light, where I'm holding them almost half asleep in a meditative state for a good 3 to 5 minutes. And I'm just allowing really the fascia in my body and to relax and open up. So it's a very light thing, but it's a great way to start my day. So I start it with that, and then I move into my meditation all before I get out of bed, so that I'm really setting both my body and my mind to have a great day. So
give people an example of a couple things they can do in bed to start their day. Like, what are a couple things? And you know, be careful you're not kicking your partner. Sometimes I think I get a little nudge, but what are a couple things? Because they're pretty simple exercises, but it's something that, you know, I'd never seen before or heard of before. It's something unique you do. I think you could help people with.
Well, I'll try to show you standing here, but one of the simplest things you can do is, and I'll just give a sample, is just bring your arms out to the side in a T, bring your knees into your chest, and then drop both your knees to one side. Let's say you drop it over to the right side, and then you just gaze over the left side. And so very softly, you're dropping the shoulders down, you're lifting the lower belly, and you're just kind of softening into it. And all you're doing is you're giving your spine a little bit of a twist, and then you'll reverse it. You'll take the knees to the left side, you'll softly gaze over to the right shoulder. And so we're moving the hips, the shoulders are staying stable, and you're moving the head to kind of start to wake up the spine. You could also lay on your back, just bend your knees with your feet hips width distance apart, and literally just lift your hips up and then exhale, bring them down. And you could do that a few times so you get a little flexion and extension in the spine. And so really what I'm looking at in any single day, everyone should be moving their spine in all six directions. What does that mean? You should be moving your spine in flexion and extension, forward and back. You should be moving your spine in internal and external rotation. And you should be moving your spine as well in side bending, so that you're moving abduction and adduction. And so if we move our spine in all six directions, then it's going to be a little more open. And your energy, here's the thing, your energy is going to flow with greater ease, because in yogic terms and in much of mind body terms, one, the chakra system runs up from the pubic bone through the crown of the head, so up to the spinal cord area. So when we're keeping our spine mobile in all six directions, then we're allowing the energy to flow. And when it gets blocked up, this is where it gets locked, usually running up through the central energy channel. So in yoga, we have a great saying that we are as young as our spine is flexible, right? So we want to keep that mobility in our spine to keep the energy flowing, to stop the blockage of energy.
Yeah, I love that. So any movement then throughout the day that people can do in those six directions is going to help keep that spine healthy and flexible. And I love the age of your spine really determines your age, right? You know, if you've got an old creaky spine because you haven't been moving it in six directions. So some really great stuff to think about there.
Hey, Tom, you know what I could do just for everyone? If you're sitting right now, maybe you could just stand up with me and let's move your spine in all six directions. This is something you can do, like set your clock for each hour, because I want to give you something actionable that you hopefully will create a ritual around and you'll do it several times a day. But if you just stand up, something as simple, and I hope you can see me, is putting your hands here and then arching your back and then drawing the navel to the spine. So now you're moving your spine in flexion and extension, right? So this is one way just to get up, move your spine. Then you can stand up and all you have to do is kind of twist side to side. So now you're doing internal and external rotation. You're waking up the spine again. And then very simply, reach your arms up, grab one wrist, and then exhale over to one side, plant your feet. Now you're moving in abduction and adduction, these lateral bends. So just that, it took probably less than a minute. You've moved your spine in all six directions. And if you can get up and do that a few times a day, first thing in the morning, before you go to bed, maybe at lunch, gosh, you're moving your spine and you're going to be younger. You're going to have better energy flow.
That's awesome. Great job. I love that. And so simple to do a couple times a day, make it a ritual, and you will age better. You will feel more vigorous and you'll be healthier. So great stuff. So a little bit, I know you have way more that you could share with people. These are just a couple little things. Your website is yoganamastacy.com. So nama, like namaste, but N-A-M-A and then S-T-A-C-Y.com. And I know there's a lot more there that people can tap into and they're going to want to go there, but they already have some really good things on how to move. Great job. So now let's go to how you eat. People have heard you, why you eat, what you eat is very important, but why is eating well, eating the right things, having the right rituals around eating, why is that so critical to health and wellness?
Well, what you eat is either creating health or it's creating disease. And we have a choice in everything that we eat, that we're doing one or the other. And again, this is an energy summit. Food has energy. So obviously, if you are eating junk food, this edible bioengineered food, it has very, very low energy. There's very low, it's all processed. So you're not going to gain any energy from it. But if you're eating foods that are coming directly from source, directly from, you know, whole foods coming directly from where they were made, they've got an energy to it. And so when we look at our food, if we want more energy, if we want more vibrant health, eat as close to the source of the food as you possibly can. And that's going to create more energy. But guaranteed, these edible bioengineered foods, they are creating disease. They are not creating health and energy for you.
Yeah. So this is another area that you've got a lot of rituals in around the way you eat. You have a pretty predetermined morning ritual in terms of what you ingest in your body. Take us through a little bit of what you do. Not that it's going to be perfect for everybody, but some of the suggestions or some of the rituals you have may be something that could help people. So what are some of the rituals you start your day off with?
Sure. Well, I do have a lot of rituals around it, but just know, everyone, that we just left exercise, that no amount of exercise can fix a poor diet. So I started off, I mentioned, as an athlete, and I thought, well, if I work out harder, I can eat what I want. And some of that was that edible bioengineered food that had nothing good for me. So I really starting to feel my body and understanding what I put in it, I could feel it in the way I moved and the energy that I have. So that's one of the first things, is start to get in touch with your inner body wisdom of what you're eating and how it makes you feel. So for me personally, and again, there is no one diet that fits everyone. You have got to explore what is giving you the most energy and the most vitality. What does work best for me is to start my day with something that is very cleansing. So first thing in the morning, I have warm water with lemon. Why warm water with lemon? Because it helps to boost my digestive system and it helps to really continue the cleanse of overnight. So when we're sleeping, our body is now, it's working on fasting and cleansing. And so the first thing in the morning, the last thing I want to put in it is something that is maybe highly acidic, that's hard to digest, that's hard on my gut, but something that's going to continue the cleansing process. And so I have warm water and lemon. A little while later, and this is not for everybody, but it works fantastic for our family. Our whole family does it. We have celery juice. We have just straight celery juice. I juice it fresh every morning. Yes, it's a lot of work. So, but what it does, again, it helps keep the cleansing going. And maybe for you, it's a different juice. Celery juice is a wonderful one for us. And then I always have a big green smoothie. So I don't eat a lot of solid food until late morning, kind of, 11, a little bit before lunch. I'm eating mostly foods that are very cleansing so that I can continue the cleanse from when I went to sleep that night as far as possible. So each day I'm kind of rebooting and re-cleansing and re-energizing my body.
Yeah. The other thing you do pretty much every day is you have a huge salad. So now there's things on the salad. So it's not just vegetables. There's all sorts of seeds and nuts and different things. But why is eating a lot of vegetables and salads, why is that such a big part of your life?
Well, I up it with a lot of superfoods. So one of the things I look at with each meal is having these four things within each meal that I have. And within my salad, I have greens. Obviously, this is even in my smoothies. I have protein. I have something with fiber in it. And then I have something with fat. So these four things are what satiate our body. So even if it's a salad, whatever I'm having, I try to have those four components in it so that I feel full. And the way I bring it in is with some of the superfoods, chia seeds, hemp seeds, these more superfoods that I can bring into it. And I put in very high quality dressings, not the ones loaded with sugar. So I stay away from refined sugars because, again, if you want something to zap your energy, sugar will do it, right? So we stay away from a lot of the refined sugars. And one of the tips that I can give you for all of this, because it's probably sounding like a lot of work for you. And again, this is why I said, you know, make it a ritual, make it conscious, start with one thing that you can commit to until you no longer think about that, right? So maybe for you, it's having that ginormous salad always in your refrigerator every single day. Right? Every single day you have a big salad there. So you know, I'm just going to have a big salad at some point today. It's very, very cleansing. And the other thing is for all of this is set up systems that are going to guarantee your success, that are going to guarantee you master this. So for example, if I go back to movement, I always have a space ready for me to get on my mat. If I roll it up and put it away, if I don't have a space for how I'm going to move, guess what? It's too easy not to move. So I make sure I have dedicated space, find it somewhere. Even if you live in a small apartment, find some place that's dedicated for your movement. When it comes to eating, set up your systems, just like you would set up at your office. In our kitchen, I have everything right where it's at. My Vitamix for the smoothies, right there. I have our juicer right here to pull up. In the morning, I have our instant hot water ready to go. I have fresh lemons ready to go. So I really make sure all our systems are ready, because the more prepared you are, the less you have to get ready. And if it becomes too much of, oh, I've got to do all this, you won't do it. So start your systems, make your systems as important as you would working at your computer or working at your desk for it.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, the proof is really in the pudding, because you everything you're talking about, you do. You're a great example of. So we have how you move. We talked about how you eat. The third one is how you think. Talk to us about how thoughts influence our health, our wellness, our vitality, our energy.
All right. So I'm sure everybody has heard over and over again the quotes that we are our thoughts, that we become our thoughts. So out of all the big three, the thoughts are the most important of all of them. Because quite honestly, you can move perfectly, you could eat perfectly, but if your thoughts are toxic, guess what? Disease will thrive in toxic thoughts. So our thoughts are going to be the most important thing that we can do to have good quality thoughts, to really stand guard of our mind, of what we're allowing to come in. So I have rituals around that as well. Tom knows these rituals. I do a meditation every morning. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's called the Metta Meditation, Loving Kindness, where the meditation every single morning and every single night, I want to plug this into my brain first thing. And before I go to sleep, I want that in my brain as well. So the loving kindness is really, it's a simple meditation to bring loving kindness first towards yourself, then towards others, and then really towards our whole global community, so that we're spreading it out. And so in the morning and in the evening, I do this loving kindness meditation. And then throughout the day, I'm doing something from a yogic terminology from Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. There's a Yoga Sutra in the Sanskrit, the ancient language of yoga, is called Pradipaksha Bhavanam. And what does that mean in simple terms? It means when a negative thought comes in, negative thought or emotion comes into your head, immediately do whatever you have to do to cancel that thought and replace it with something more powerful, a more optimum performance thought. So this is one of the things, is learning how to notice which thoughts are coming in, deliberately and consciously canceling that negative thought, replace it with something more powerful. So let me give you an example. And again, as Tom mentioned, I'm a yoga teacher. I usually come back to yoga because it's taught me so much. But some of you have probably seen this pose called tree pose, right? Tree pose, where we stand on one foot, right? We balance, we do what we have. And so people will come into class and they will take tree pose, and maybe, you know, for whatever reason, their balance is off that day. Maybe they were traveling, and I will see it. I will see it on them. They're balancing, and then whoop, they fall down, and they come back, and they're woo, and they're falling down. And what happens? They become what? What do they become when that keeps happening, Tom?
Frustrated.
Frustrated, right? And any of you out there, maybe you felt frustrated in a yoga class where you're falling over. And so frustration isn't a real great emotion and thought to have while you're doing your yoga practice, because frustration is really, it's a combination of embarrassment, anger, and disappointment. And those are not empowering thoughts. So when that comes in, I'm falling over, boom, can I cancel that thought? Can I replace it with something more powerful? How about fascination? How about being fascinated, which is much more alluring? It's about wonder. It's curious. It's much higher thought and emotion process. And maybe I start to get curious. Wow, I'm kind of off balance today. I wonder it's because I was on an airplane yesterday and maybe my equilibrium's off. Or I wonder if it's because of what I ate. You're curious. You have wonder, and it's a higher thought process. So when we start looking at how we think, again, learning this practice of when the negative thoughts and emotions come in, can we cancel it and replace it with a higher emotional and powerful thought?
Yeah, that's awesome. So the big three: how you move, how you eat, and how you think. And by creating rituals in each of those areas, we can all become healthier. We can create a higher level of wellness, and we can really enjoy life better. I love how you've broken that down, and you've helped so many people with it over the years. How can people get in touch with you, and what types of things can they do with you if they want to continue on this journey with the big three?
Well, I would love to meet all of you. And the best way to connect with me is really through my website, as Tom said, Yoga Namastacy, and it's STACY at the end.com. Also, I'm on all the social links. But if you go to Yoga Namastacy, I have a little ebook that you can get on mastering the big three with some of these simple techniques that I talked about that you can start implementing right away. And really, my tip for it is start with one. Make a commitment to just one thing that you're going to be conscious and deliberate about, and do it. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it until you don't think about it anymore. That's just the way you start your day, or that's the way you end your day, or that's what you do. So pick one of those things, master it, and then add on the next one. What is it you need? But yeah, really at my website, and I would love to connect with all of you. I teach online, so anywhere in the world, you know, come connect with me, and I would love to help you.
Oh, your students love your classes, and she has lots of a huge base of very loyal fans that she's helped change a lot of lives. I mentioned at the very beginning, we've been married 30 years, and just the proof is in the pudding. You notice her energy, you notice the vibrancy she has. She's getting ready, and she doesn't mind me saying this because she's not concerned with age, but she's getting ready to have her 60th birthday. So this is the kind of energy you can have if you master the big three the way that Stacy has done. So you're a great example, and it's really been wonderful having you on. And I know a lot of people will benefit from watching you, and hopefully they'll reach out to you and be able to take advantage of some of the more things that you have where they can continue their journey to health and wellness along with you. So thank you so much for being part of this, and you did an amazing job.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.